email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
What a wonderful surprise. I didn't know this morning when I got up that I'd be talking to Jarvis Cocker. Good afternoon, Jarvis.
Hello there, Ray. How are you?
I'm much better now talking to you. Thanks so much for taking our call today.
You're welcome.
Alan has been on already. Looking forward to seeing Pulp again. The new album is great. In the mid-90s, when someone asked me Blur or Oasis, the answer was always Pulp, says Alan.
Correct answer.
Congratulations on the new album, More. So it's the first album in 23 years. Explain yourself.
I'm just a very slow worker, Ray. That's it, really. It was because, you know, we got together, we were playing some concerts in 2023, and there was a song that I'd written for a play back in England, a play called Light Falls by a playwright called Simon Stevens. And we kind of just did that in sound checks, and then eventually
there was no sound. Hello. He sounds like he's there, but he's gone. Hello, Jarvis. Okay, let's play a bit of disco. Yeah, disco 2000. Yeah. We've 5 clips, Jarvis, so if you drop out 5 times, we're covered.
Sorry about that, Ray. I don't know what happened. I don't know how much of my
You were telling us about the Hymn of the North. I know that's the song you were talking about, which was written
right,
for a play.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, which is a beautiful song.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we just, because it was written and we had a string section with us, we kind of worked out an arrangement and we would try it in sound checks, and then we eventually played it when we played in Sheffield, and that was the start of it, really.
Yeah. You were saying that you're a slow worker, and you sort of said that jokingly, but you're known for your procrastination over lyrics.
Yeah.
Yes. And how did you get around that this time?
Sorry, I didn't hear all that because it went a bit...
right. No,
I'm stood near the window, honestly, Ray. I'm trying to get the strongest signal that I can. You were asking me about lyrics.
Yes, you're famous.
Yeah, I mean,
go on.
Yeah, I mean, lyrics. I used to write things down in a notebook, but now I tend to, like everybody, just have notes on my phone. And when, after doing the Hymn of the North, I thought, okay, I'll have a look at what I've been writing over the last few years and try to sort things into kind of themes or ideas. And that was the start of the lyrics for this record.
Old and new, given equally rapturous welcome. The review in The Guardian today of your Glasgow gig.
Yeah, well, that's very nice to see that written in black and white. Yeah, it's something that, you know, Pulp haven't had to think about for a long time. You know, we've been playing, and the big challenge was to get the old songs sounding as they should. And also, because, you know, I'm older than I was, and so when you play a song and you're trying to revive it, you've got to... It's not just a case of learning the notes and stuff. You have to try and get back into the feeling of it and make sure that it comes back to life. And that's, you know, that had been what we've been doing for the last couple of tours. But then when you're suddenly faced with putting new songs amongst old ones, then of course you're thinking, well, hope they like them. So it was very good to see that written down in a review. Yeah.
Yeah. So he says here that you finished up with Common People, then came back for an encore with Sunset, which is a beautiful song, co-written by Richard Hawley.
Yeah.
With a nod to the Coke ad from the 70s.
Yeah, we've had to pay for that.
Did you?
Well, the thing is, Richard sent me some chords. He'd written something on the guitar, and he said, oh, it sounds a bit like that Coke advert. I said, oh, that's all right. And then I just thought, because he'd put it in my mind, I thought, oh, well, I'll quote a line from that song. Anyway, I've paid for it now, so we've had to give them some of the publishing on it.
Yeah, we'll have a little listen to that. Sunset. That's lovely.
Thank you. You could hear the quote.
Yes, yes, yes. And I could hear the melody now that I listen to it more closely. So did you volunteer paying it, or did they come after you?
No, we realised that we got in touch with them, and we came to an arrangement, shall we say. Yeah.
You were talking about singing the old songs and getting back into them. Does that keep you young?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, one thing is that, you know, I thought the band had played a trick on me when we first started rehearsing for this tour. I thought that they were playing the songs in a higher key because I was finding it so hard to get the notes. And obviously, you know, you're not really aware of it as you live in your life, but your voice gets deeper and deeper and deeper as you get older. And so I had a choice then. I could have said, okay, let's change the key. But something said to me, well, why don't you just try and get back so you can sing them in the original key? Because I think then you have got a chance of bringing it back to life and of getting the energy that was in the song when it was written. So that's what I decided to do. And weirdly enough, the only song that I can't get all the notes of is Help the Aged. We haven't played that for a long time. And I have to get the audience to sing the last line of the chorus for that. But that's kind of fitting. You know, they are actually helping the aged, as in they're helping me to sing the song.
And you performed together firstly as a band in 1980. And then I suppose you came to most people's radar mid-1990s. My first experience of you was Babies from His and Hers, which was on one of those alternative compilations. I played it over and over again. So you were doing what you were doing for 15 years before you hit the charts.
Yeah, but I mean, I did other things, you know. I thought it was over when I went to London. You know, I moved to London in 1988 to go to art college, St. Martin's, and I just thought that would be the end of it. But then Steve Mackey, who was from Sheffield and I knew him a bit, he joined the band. And we really, you know, we had 2 years where we only did one concert per year. So we were almost gone. But I don't know. When it came to the end of college, played a concert and suddenly people seemed to like us a bit. So I never bothered to try and be a filmmaker, which is what I'd gone to college to learn how to be. I went back to being in the band.
Yeah, you're saying the lyric of one of the songs, "Born to perform, it's a calling. I exist to do this."
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's part of getting older, isn't it? Like realizing what you can do and what you can't do, you know. And I enjoy being on stage. Like I say, I like that thing of bringing the songs to life, but also it kind of brings me to life a bit. You know, I am not a massively outgoing person. But then when you're in front of an audience, you've got to, you know. So I managed to access a different part of myself, you know. I'm not like being a different person, but it does bring something out of me that I don't get that from anything else.
Yeah, I was reading there that an ex of yours said that the only really get to hear the real Jarvis when he's on stage. Is that true?
Yeah, that used to be the case, and I'm a bit ashamed of that. I have to say now, my wife was the first person to hear this record, so I've got better with that because I realised, it took me a long time to realise it, but I realised it wasn't really very nice that people who you were in relationships with didn't know what was going on in your mind. So I decided that she had to hear the songs first. And that was, I know it's a very simple thing, but it was quite important to me to have done that.
So maturing, you know, growing up.
Growing up, that's a good way of putting it. On the back of one of our albums, This Is Hardcore, it said, it's okay to grow up as long as you don't grow old. And I still think that, you know, because to me, growing up is learning more about life, learning more about yourself. Growing old is more like just giving up, just saying I'm old, I'm not involved anymore, you know. So, I'm growing up. I hope I'm not growing old.
Yeah, Grown Ups is a song on the new album as well. Because you said, like, Mowgli, why was everybody praising Mowgli for leaving the jungle? You would have stayed in the jungle because he was having the crack.
Well, that's what I would have used to, what I used to think when I was a kid. It was like, hang around with a talking bear and all that kind of stuff, rather than like becoming a member of normal human society. Yeah. I would have just carried on hanging out with the bear for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned your mate, Steve Mackey, who died in 2023, the bass player. So so you were there from, you know, from your late teen and early 20s. It's a long relationship. So that must have hurt you when he died.
Yeah, he did, and he was a real, like I say, he really kind of kept the band together. When I, if I'd have come to London and he hadn't have been there, I think the band would have just fizzled out then.
Mm.
And he was very kind of a driven person, so he was very good for the band, and so I owe a lot to him, and it was a big thing, yeah.
Mm. Do bands, they need a lot of different types of personalities, don't they? Do they? I've never been, well, I was momentarily in fifth year in school, but that's a long time ago. But they need different types of people, don't they? Strong, solid people, nearly boring people, you know, all, do they?
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about bands, you know, is that a band gets a certain sound as much from people's strong, weak points as strong points, you know. Mm. And so, you know, like we've got a very loud drummer, so that honestly, he's so loud. I've worked with other drummers and thought, why are they only tickling the kit? But I realise it's because he whacks it. So that immediately gives the band the sound, because everybody else then has to make a noise to be heard over him. So that's part of the energy in Pulp songs, I think. It's people straining to be heard over these very loud drums. So, and Candida has, you know, movement problems because of arthritis and stuff, so she plays in a very particular way. And the thing is that, you know, all those things mix together and give a band a particular sound. And, and that's, you know, that's why, you know, there aren't as many bands as there used to be. It's more like solo performers now. But I like bands because of that, because it's like a little organism that forms itself and makes something that's quite unique.
And with the new album, More, which is available now to download and to buy on CD, and I'm sure it's available on vinyl as well, and you're doing more interviews, obviously, like talking to me here today, so you have to reflect then, you know, you have to reflect on your life, Jarvis Cocker. And people bring up different things, you know, because when people read about you, you know, they see the highlights and the lowlights, and, you know, so you don't know what's coming at you, do you? You don't know what you're going to have to remember.
No, and especially for this record, because I'd made a kind of pledge to the group that we were just going to do it quickly, because the last two Pulp albums before that, This Is Hardcore and Wheel of Life, had taken forever, mainly due to me, like rewriting things, not being sure about things, having a big concept and stuff. And I just thought, I'm not going to have a concept this time. We'll just get some songs together. If they're good enough, we'll record them and we'll think about it afterwards. And as you say, now is really when I'm having to look at them, because I'm having to talk about them. Basically, you know, it's good. I think that's the better way to do it. Do it, then think about it afterwards. Don't think about it too much before you do it.
Yeah. You know, you've probably been told already, because you've done Irish interviews, that Spike Island, we have a Spike Island. It was a prison island. It was called Ireland's Alcatraz.
Somebody told me that. Yeah, sorry about that. I've never been there. I never went to the Spike Island that the song is about, which is where the Stone Roses had their famous concert at the beginning of the 90s. But I've been told about it by quite a few people, because it was a big thing in the north. You know, the Stone Roses were such a big thing in the, because they were like our band in the north of England, you know, and they decided to do this thing all on their own without a promoter. So it was like a big kind of Robin Hood kind of gesture, really.
Mm. And, you know, because the things that come up about you, like, the, you know, facts you didn't know about Jarvis Cocker, you organised a Meltdown festival where you got people like Shane McGowan to sing Disney songs. Is that factually correct?
That is true. I had the honour of singing, I think it might be in the Aristocats, there's a thing where some dogs bark.
Right.
To the tune of Home Sweet Home. And the people who were barking were me, Shane McGowan, Nick Cave and Pete Doherty. So it was like, oh, 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 oh. So there you go, superstar barking.
I saw Pulp in August 96 in Barcelona, free outdoor gig, unforgettable, says Mark. Jarvis and Pulp, what a great energy they brought to our dance floors. Different, unique and real. No fancy buttons or synthesizers, just simple lyrics and way ahead. God bless you, man. You made our Saturday nights great, says Des. Because you say somewhere that you set out to write fairly conventional yet slightly offbeat pop songs.
Yeah, that, I found that phrase actually in a weird like school notebook that I'd written a kind of pulp manifesto right back when I was like 14 or something. Right. I think before I'd actually had I got around to actually asking anybody to be in the band with me. I decided to write my ideas down. But yeah, I think that's always been my kind of mission statement. I loved pop music as a kid. It was the first music that made me feel something. And so I like songs to have a tune and stuff like that. But when I got to kind of puberty, I felt that love songs had kind of not really prepared me for what trying to be in a love affair was like in real life. So I've always tried to put slightly inappropriate subject matter into a pop song context, I guess.
Like listening to somebody from a wardrobe while they were having sex, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, but, and why did I home in on that? That says more about me probably than your lyric writing. Anyway, so you're enjoying being back on the road with the band and the album and everything?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big thing. We've only done one show on this tour so far. It was in Glasgow on Friday, on Saturday night.
So that review was important then. Sorry, I didn't realise.
Yeah, because it was. We had to come up with a completely new set. We've got this kind of interval in the middle of it. So the show that we're doing tomorrow in Dublin is just the second one of the tour. But I have confidence that it will work. But I would say to people, if they're coming, come early, because Lisa O'Neill is opening the show.
Yes.
And you don't want to miss her. She's great.
You're a big fan of Lisa.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it because her name ends with an A? Is that it?
No, I didn't think of that, but no.
Because there's Tina on the, and then there was Deborah. Your name is Deborah. It never suited you.
You're right. Guilty as charged. I don't know why I've got an obsession with that kind of thing, but, you know, I have.
You have. Listen, great talking to you, and it's great to hear that she's in such good form. More is the album, and Jarvis Cocker and Pulp are in the Three Arena tomorrow, and Lisa O'Neill is opening up for them. Thanks, Jarvis. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
We play out with babies. Yeah.
All right. Nice.